How many glad to be in the house this morning? Amen. Great to be here. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, and we're going to start in verse 46. It seems like whenever I'm given an opportunity to preach, somebody, you know, hijacks my message. So the other day, Pastor Barb gets on Facebook, says, let's share Mark chapter 10 and verse 46. I'm like, I've already studied that whole thing. I'm not restudying it. And it was amazing. She shared a great word. But it was awesome. Because, and then Pastor Paul did that to me a couple times back. Count it all joy. So I don't know what is going on. But God is speaking his word, and that's exciting. I text her. I said, it's amazing to see of all the scriptures in the Bible that you would share this week. That would be the exact one that the Lord had put on my heart. So Mark chapter 10 and verse 46. So glad you're here this morning. Pastor Paul thought no one would come. And we look around and we're really, really excited to see a good turnout. First service, rocking. Labor Day weekend. Are you guys excited for Labor Day weekend? All right. Well, let's get into the word. Mark chapter 10 and verse 46 says, then they reached Jericho, and as Jesus and his disciples left town, a large crowd followed him. A blind beggar named Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, was sitting beside the road. When Bartimaeus heard that Jesus of Nazareth was nearby, he began to shout, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Be quiet. Many of the people yelled at him, but he only shouted louder, son of David, have mercy on me. When Jesus heard him, he stopped and said, tell him to come here. So they called the blind man. Cheer up, they said. Come on, he's calling you. Bartimaeus threw aside his coat, jumped up, and came to Jesus. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked. My rabbi, the blind man said, I want to see. And Jesus said, go. Your faith has healed you. Instantly, the man could see, and he followed Jesus down the road. Father, we thank you for your word this morning, and we just ask in these next few moments that as I'm speaking, that your Holy Spirit would be the one speaking to every heart in this place, that your word would be accomplished in every heart in Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen, amen. I'm just going to speak for a few minutes about the miracle on the road today. I remember being in maybe fourth, maybe fifth grade, I don't know exactly when, but I realized at a moment in time that I couldn't see the blackboard clearly anymore. I was looking, and you can tell how long ago I went to school, the blackboard. I was squinting, and all of a sudden I was straining, and I couldn't see, and my world had become blurry, and it didn't matter how hard I strained, and I knew something was wrong. Something was out of focus, and so finally my parents, you know, took me to the eye doctor, and we were told that I was going to need glasses to correct my vision. And so when I finally got my glasses, and let me just tell you this, you know, putting on those giant, bulky frames was not really a confidence booster, you know, for an already shy middle schooler back then. But it was a relief to put those glasses on and watch the world come back into focus. And so I want to share a story today of Mark chapter 10 about a man in the Bible who I'm just going to refer to as Bart. Everybody say Bart. Because I don't want to go say Bartimaeus every time, right? We can make it easy for ourselves. But Bart is blind and he's begging. He's lost his vision. He's lost his provision. There's nothing more that man can do for him. And there's nothing more that he can really do for himself at this point. And so for his situation to have any hope to change, Bart is going to need a move of God. It will take a miracle. Everybody say miracle. Now, even today, 2,000 years later, we have made, obviously, many significant advances in science and in the medical field. But most people who are blind or have lost their vision are prepared to spend their lifetime dealing with it, overcoming it, and just kind of having to adjust to that condition. But it was even more so for our friend Bart. He was blind, and he was a beggar. So not only was he blind, but he also was begging. It was just the fact of where he was. It was a permanent situation, and by all accounts, it was impossible to change. He was in an impossible situation. And you may be here this morning at the 9 o'clock service on Labor Day weekend, and you're facing a situation that might look impossible to change in the natural. What is that condition that maybe you're dealing with? Maybe you have also become spiritually blurry. Maybe your eyes have faith have blurred up. Maybe you've become short-sighted. Maybe it's impossible for you to see anything past the place that you're in right now. And let me ask you, has the vision maybe for your marriage or your children or your ministry or your purpose or your finances or your life, has your vision gone blurry or become dark? Maybe you have come to the resolution that this thing, what is that thing that you've become resigned to living the rest of your life with, unless, everybody say unless, God shows up and perform a miracle. And that's the situation where we find Bart. He's in a hopeless situation. He has no hope. But aren't you glad that you never know, and I said it this morning on Facebook, you never know what God will do in one service. Never underestimate the power of God that can encounter your life in one service, in one encounter. And so Bart wakes up this day, and he doesn't realize that his entire life is about to change. He's just resigned to go back and beg. And so we're going to go through the story, and I'm just going to pull out points and move right through them. Mark chapter 10, 46. We'll start right at the top. Then he reached Jericho, and as Jesus and his disciples left town, a large crowd followed him. A blind beggar named Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, was sitting beside the road. So the first thing I want you to understand is that roads are built for traveling, not for sitting. Roads are built for traveling, not for sitting. And so life has not been very kind to our friend Bart. We aren't really told what kind of life he's lived. We don't know if he was born this way or if something happened along the way. All we know that when we're introduced into the narrative of Mark, when he's introduced, that he's blind, he's broke, and he's sitting by the road with this illustrious career as a beggar. You know, never on my worst day have I ever been like, you know, I would really love to go out and beg on the street for money. You know, when I was in school and they're going through, you know, what do you want to be when you grow up? You know, I remember people saying, I want to be a fireman. I want to be a policeman. You know, I want to be an actor. I don't remember everyone saying, you know what I'd like to do? I would love to be on the street corners begging for money. That is like the goal of my life, right? No one plans this, but here he is. He's sitting here. And you know what? There is not really any other possibility. It's not really a consideration. He doesn't have the luxury of dreaming of a something better, of something more. He is stuck and he is stationary on the road that others travel. The people that pass him by, they're what? They're in motion. They're going somewhere. They have destinations beyond where he's at. But Bart is going nowhere, and he's going nowhere fast. Have you ever experienced a time in your life when you realize that you're just going nowhere? You're spinning your wheels. You're stuck. You see others moving forward. You see others realizing their gifts and their talents and anointings and dreams and callings. And yet you look at your life and you're like, I have no vision. And maybe you're penniless and visionless. And sometimes we find ourselves broke and divorced and lost and heartbroken, kids a mess, dreams in shambles, and we are stuck wondering, how in the world has life gone this way? And I'm thinking, as I imagine Bart, as he sits on this road and he's hearing stories and he's hearing people laughing as they travel and they're telling of their great journeys along this magnificent road, he's hearing families sharing stories of love and joy, and he is hearing the soundtrack of others living the life that he will never have. Have you ever felt that way? That everyone around you is blessed? Everyone around you is prospering? Everyone around you is living such a rich and a full life, and it looks like, well, they have so much love and they have everything together, and I wish I could be like that family or that person or in that situation. But here you sit, broke, blind, and busted. Somebody say broke, blind, and busted. Life is meant for forward motion. God is always moving forward. We are to be growing, expanding, experiencing. We're not meant to be stuck on the road watching others live their dreams. We're meant to be on the road traveling and moving forward. Have you ever been stranded on a highway? I've spent many a good night, 3 a.m. coming back from L.A. No better place to get stuck in between L.A. and Phoenix. Right? I mean, literally nothing there. I remember about a 12-hour ordeal. We had taken a van with a bunch of kids down and got stuck on the way back in the middle of the night. It was like 2 a.m, blew the radio, everything, the whole engine blew. And here we were, stuck, totally going nowhere. We're on a highway and we watch cars traveling. Oh, I'd love to be like them. It would just be so nice to be going home right now. Oh, look at that car, look at that car. And here we sit. And that's how we feel sometimes in our life. And that's where Bart is today. He's on a road that's meant for traveling, but yet he is sitting. The next thing we see in verse 47 is when Bart heard that Jesus of Nazareth was nearby, he began to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." So even though his eyes were closed, his ears were still open. You may be blind today. You may not be able to see everything in your vision, but you need to tune in to the voice of the Holy Spirit and open up your ears today and hear what God is speaking in your life. Bartimaeus heard. He heard that Jesus was coming. People were talking, and he was listening. The one thing that he had was his hearing, and that's what he counted on. He would listen, and he could hear everything. He heard every conversation. And so, in fact, usually when someone has some kind of a condition of blindness or something of that order, their other senses get heightened. But I want to tell you this, and this is the point I want to make. You never know who is listening in your life. You never know who's listening. Your children are listening. Your friends are listening. Your classmates are listening. Your coworkers are listening. But the question is, what are they hearing? Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth? For the three of you that got that movie reference, God bless you. Thank you. But they're listening. They're watching. They listen. They hear your words. What do they read on your Facebook or on your social media? Is what you're saying and typing, are they words of life or are they words of death? Would it lead someone to Christ or is it going to push them away? People are listening. Proverbs 18:21 says, "The tongue can bring death or life. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences either way." But here's another point. People cannot hear what is not spoken. Someone in your life may be in a desperate place in your work or in your life, and they need a miracle. And what you speak could lead them to the miracle worker himself. Can I just tell you that silence sometimes can be the greatest sin that we commit? Just being silent. I never even heard of such a thing as ghosting. But that's the new thing. I don't want to talk to you anymore. We don't have a conversation about this. I just don't ever talk to you anymore. I go silent. What are you speaking? What are people hearing when you speak? Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29 says, "Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything," everybody say everything. "Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them." Now, guess what it doesn't say? It doesn't say only say good and helpful things to those who agree with your opinions in life. It doesn't say only speak good things to those who are on the same political platform you are on. Oh, now I'm going to start messing with somebody. It doesn't say to speak life to someone as long as you agree with their worldviews and their values. No, it says, let everything you say be good and helpful. Bartimaeus heard the word. He heard that Jesus was coming. And can I tell you, it wasn't a profound word. You know what that word was? Hey, Jesus is coming. Sometimes the most profound thing you can say is, hey, you want to go to Thrive Barbecue? You want to go with me? Yeah, cool. That's it. You spoke the word. Hey, we got men's breakfast coming up in a couple weeks. You want to go? You want to go? You want to go? Yeah? You want to go? Yeah, they got ladies' Bible study. You want to go? And if you're a man, you go, no. But my wife might go. Sometimes that's the most powerful thing you say. Just a simple word can lead to salvation. Just one word saying, hey, you want to go? And that's all Bartimaeus heard. Hey, Jesus is coming. What? And something began to change. Now, here's the thing. Hearing must be followed by doing. The next thing that he did is he began to shout, Jesus, son of mercy, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Bart moved past hearing the word, and he started speaking to the word. In the moment, he went from hearing about Jesus to actually crying out to Jesus. See, a lot of times we can come to church and we can hear a word and then we walk out and our life doesn't change. But when you hear the word and then you start speaking to the word and you start speaking the word, James 1:22 says, but don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourselves. How many times do we fool ourselves? Oh, I heard that word today. That was a good word. Yeah, it was good. What was it about? I don't remember, but it was good. The only part of the word that works for you is the part that you work. If Bartimaeus had been content to just keep listening and remain seated, he would have died there. We would never know this story. We would have never heard his name. There would be nothing to tell. There would be no story to tell. He would have remained in his place of defeat. Because change happens at the point of action. Faith is a verb. It's proactive. Faith doesn't remain seated on the side of the road, silenced by fear and doubt and negativity or acceptance of how things look at the moment. Faith has a voice that cannot be silenced by the enemy. Somebody say, faith has a voice. Now, look what happened. As soon as he began to speak, then in verse 48, it says, be quiet, many of the people yelled at him. But, everybody say, but. He only shouted louder, son of David, have mercy on me. And the Lord showed me this the other day, and I wrote it down, and it was impacting to me. But the blind man had to turn a deaf ear to doubt. Think about that for a minute. The blind man had to now turn a deaf ear to doubt. Because although he can't see, as we've mentioned before, his ears work just fine. And as a matter of fact, that's the one thing in life that he can rely on is his hearing. And now he has to make a decision to take the one thing that he depends on, the one thing that he can always know is anchored in his life is his hearing. He now has to refuse to listen, and he's got to turn a deaf ear to doubt and refuses to listen to the crowd who's telling him to shut up. And that's what the enemy does. The enemy will try to silence your praise. The enemy will try to silence your voice. It will try to silence that voice of faith when you try to speak the words of faith and speak the words of God in your situation. The enemy comes in and says, shut up. That's what the enemy always tries to do. But he refuses to listen. Sometimes we have to turn a deaf ear to doubt. Because guess what? The miracle was in motion. The enemy tried to shut him up. Because he knew if he could shut him up, then he could shut him out and he could shut him down. All he had to do was quiet him. Now, in Mark chapter 5, you don't have to turn there, but there's a story that you can go read later. But Jesus raises Jairus' little girl from the dead. It's an amazing story. But before, everybody say before. Before he did that miracle, the Bible says that he cleared the room of all the doubters and the naysayers and those voices of negativity. And I'm going to just tell you by the Holy Spirit today. Today may be the day for you to shut out and shut down all the voices that are trying to murder your miracle. Get them out of your life. Get them out of your room. And I love what Bartimaeus did. Not only did he turn a deaf ear to doubt, he turned up the volume of his faith. Determine today that doubt will not silence you. Fear cannot stop you. Unbelief will not block your miracle today. Make a decision. I'm not going to be quiet. I'm not going to shut my mouth, but I'm going to actually speak even louder. As the situation may look worse and things may look even darker, I'm going to yet praise the Lord. I'm going to yet lift my voice and give God glory. In verse 49, it says, when Jesus heard him. Now, listen, look what happens. Now, Jesus heard that. Now, there's all kinds of people talking, but it says, when Jesus heard him. Everybody say him. Yeah. when he heard him, he stopped. Otherwise, he wasn't stopping. He was on a journey. He was heading out of town. He stopped and said, tell him to come here. Now, I love that because it wasn't negativity that caught Jesus' attention. It wasn't doubt. It wasn't unbelief. It wasn't whining. It wasn't negativity. It wasn't victim mentality. It was the voice of faith that caught the attention of Jesus. When you speak the word of faith, it's not only others in your life that hear you, but it's God himself that says, whoa, whoa, I hear something. I hear a different voice. I hear a lot of complaining and whining and carrying on. We see it on Facebook every day. Whine, 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 whine. Complain, 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 right? Judge, 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 judge. And he says, whoa, whoa, wait a second. I hear something through the crowd. That's a different voice. That's the voice of faith that grabbed his attention. It pierced through the noise of the crowd. And when you start speaking faith in your life, it pierces through the noise that's in your life. And it creates a space for a one-on-one encounter with the Son of the living God. Now, this is one of my favorite parts of this story. It says, so they called. They called the blind man. Cheer up, they said. Come on. He's calling you. Who's they? The crowd. Was not that the same crowd that just minutes ago told him to sit down and shut up? Now they say, cheer up. Hey, man, Jesus calling you. Yeah, I always knew you were gonna, I always knew you had something on your life. You did? Why were you just telling me to shut up a minute ago? I'm not talking about days later. I'm talking about minutes later. That's how quickly the crowd can change and turn. Minutes later, they're telling him to shut up. Remember the same crowd that was saying, Hosanna, Hosanna. Later, we see him over here. Crucify him, crucify him. Same people, same crowds. The crowd, this is kind of the point. The crowd will either curse you or they'll cheer you. And you can't listen to either one. They'll celebrate you one day. They'll reject you the next. But see, the crowd here had served a purpose because it was because of the crowd, he heard that Jesus was coming. But you can't be swayed by the crowd's doubt, and you can't be seduced by their cheers. The same crowd that loves you one minute hates you the next. Come on, get up. It's a great day for you, man. I've been praying and believing. Then why were you telling me to shut up? Verse 50, Bartimaeus threw aside his coat, jumped up, and came to Jesus. Sometimes it's just time for a new coat. It's just time for a new outfit. He had to throw his coat away, and I won't get into it too much, but just to tell you this, that coat that he wore was a beggar's coat. It identified him and qualified him as a beggar. He had to wear that coat in order to beg. So when he stood up and he threw the coat off, it was a bold move. He was taking action before he was even healed. Are you getting this? He was set free. But before, everybody say before. Before the miracle ever happened, he sheds the garment of his past and he embraces the God of his future. And he says, I'm coming to Jesus. I'm walking to you and I'm throwing aside everything that was. That was the old me now. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, that means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. Bart ditches everything that identified him as what he'd always been, blind, broke, and busted. And he stood up and he said, no more today. No more today. I'm done. And then he jumps up. Everybody say, jump up. Jump around. Jump around. No, I don't think that's what he did, but he did jump up. And he made his way where? To Jesus. I'm preaching to someone this morning, today, who needs to throw away the old identity. You need to throw away the old labels, the haunting images of your past failures and past rejections and just your past in general. And you need to jump up today and walk straight into the arms of a Savior who loves you, who cares for you, who died for you, who shed his blood for you, who is here today wanting to make you whole, who's wanting to change you, who's wanting to save you, who's wanting to deliver you and to set you free by the power of his Holy Spirit. Come on, give him praise this morning. Are you ready for a new life in Christ today? Now listen to what Jesus said. Jesus said, he asked a question, and he asked the question of us today, what do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked, and he said, my rabbi, the blind man said, I want to see. Now we can kind of brush past that and be like, oh, that's, you know, that's kind of obvious, Captain Obvious there. Very good. But Jesus says, what do you want me to do for you? Now, he's not asking for his own knowledge, right? And it wouldn't even, you know, he's Jesus. He wouldn't even, it could be any of us. And if a blind man comes forward to us and he's coming for prayer, we think he probably wants prayer to see again. Doesn't take a rocket scientist, right? So Jesus says, what do you want me to do for you? Because he wants to hear the confession, the word of faith. What is he going to say? And you know what I never noticed? I never realized as I looked at the story. If you back up and you go to verse 35 in Mark chapter 10, you'll see a story where Jesus asked a couple of his disciples the exact same question. Two of his disciples, it says, James and John, verse 35, the sons of Zebedee came to him saying, teacher, now listen to this, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. Sometimes that is the arrogance that we have. God, you just do this magically. You're my genie. Come on, move. God, whatever I say, you do it. And so they say, and then he says to them, he asked the same question that he asked blind Bartimaeus. He says, what do you want me to do for you? And they start into a whole soliloquy about sitting on the right hand and being in the glory and sitting on the throne and being next. And finally, he just says, well, I can't do all that. That's not mine to give. In other words, you just said you basically want to be me. That's where I'm sitting. And so they were straight up demanding a position of glory rather than fulfilling a mission of God's purpose. How many times does God ask what we want him to do for us, and we start naming blessings and prosperity and favor and positions and power and money instead of just asking God to touch our life? Because when God touches your life and say, God, I want you to touch my life so that I can serve kingdom purposes, guess what follows that? Blessings, prosperity, favor, all those things are going to happen. But I love what Bartimaeus just says. He just says, I want to see. I want to see today. That's it. I just want a touch from God in my life. I'm asking for my vision to be restored. I don't care about any of that other stuff. I don't even know. I don't have all the answers. All I know is I just want to see. What are you believing God for today in your life? Be specific. What is it that you want God to do in your life that would give him glory? Maybe your prayer today is, I want my marriage restored. I want my kids healed. I want my family saved. What is it today? Can you name it? Bartimaeus, he didn't even hesitate. What do you want me to do for you? I want to see. I want to see. He didn't ask for anything else. He didn't ask for riches or fame or glory. He knew what he needed from God. And are you bold enough today? Are you honest enough to speak out loud what it is you really need from God today? That's what God is waiting for. He's waiting for that authentic voice inside of you. Because it's easy to say, oh, I don't know, I just pray for God to do something. You know, I don't know what it is. Say, no, what is it? Well, I don't want to say it here. Why? Say it, speak it. Make your requests known to God. And then he said, I want to see. And then Jesus said in verse 52, he said, go, for your faith has healed you. Instantly, everybody say instantly, the man could see and he followed Jesus down the road. So it's your faith and your miracle. Everybody say, my faith, my miracle. Jesus tells him to go. And guess what? It wasn't Jesus' faith, and of course, it certainly wasn't the crowd's faith that healed him. Jesus said, go, for your faith has healed you. It's your faith. It's your faith, and it's your miracle. Whatever you're needing from God today, whatever you've come into this place with, maybe you've been in an impossible situation. Bartimaeus received a miracle. But look what happened. Look where the final story ends. He doesn't just get healed and then be like, peace out, thanks. Bye. That was cool. Yeah, that was cool. I can see now. The Bible says, instantly he could see and followed Jesus down the road. The very road that he used to sit and beg on. The very road that was a reminder of the past life where he was immobile and motionless while the world went on around him. He gets right on that road. And now, wherever you go, Jesus, that's where I'm going. I'm going to follow you. Can we give the Lord praise this morning? Amen. He follows Jesus past the life. Past his life that had been placed on pause. Past the place of lack and deficiency and darkness and resignation that life would never be more, or never be better than it was right now. And when you decide today that the place of defeat and resignation and hopelessness that you may be at in a situation today is the very place that you're going to act in faith and cry out to Jesus for mercy and a miracle, then the place that you've been stuck in, you might have been stuck there a long time while others were walking around you and walking past you, is the very place that you're going to get up. You're going to throw off the old garment and you're going to walk towards Jesus and walk with Jesus with new vision, with new hope, with new victory in your life, with new freedom, with new power, with new anointing, and with new blessing. Would you stand this morning today?